stay in your seats or actually start moving around and jitterbugging to Bathrob Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. This is the January 23rd, 2000 show. Got special guests and special stuff. So stay with us for Civil Rights on the Poor for the next 2.5 hours. Are indeed tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This show specializes in issues around poverty and homelessness. I'm your host, Bathrob Spears Robert Norse, and I have a guest in the studio with me who we're going to be interviewing in detail. This is an older woman who is facing homelessness with an eviction in just a week and a half away. We're going to be talking to her. We're first trying to kind of do a little flouncing around with the tapes because we're here a little bit late, so bear with us, and we will be right back. Actually, it's going to take a little more fooling with the tapes to get with it here, but we will get with it. Call-in number for Bathrob Spears Broadsides, if you wish to join us, is 427-3772. We invite you to call in. We're going to be finishing up a number of interviews today from different folks, particularly focusing to some extent on the Dolphin Lee Project, the eviction of Hispanics from the beach flats. The upcoming city council meeting on Tuesday, that's 2 days away. Homeless Issues Task Force meets tomorrow, and there'll be a special demonstration on Wednesday where your very own host, myself, I may get arrested there along with a bunch of other people sitting in San Jose. Let's see if we actually have some little music for you while we get the tapes queued up.
Oh, ultimate goal of secondhand heroes. Another one rises, demanding the right to be heard, and gets the bird. History shrugs its shoulders, gives a big horse laugh, and the cut price hero ends up with the rest of the trash. As I was a-walking down by the Thames side, I spied a dead body washed away by the tide. Borne along on the river, it slowly drew near to the oily black water by Westminster Pier. Grey stubbled face with its halo of scum, I staring blindly at the high noonday sun. They took him to Southwark, to the mortuary there, and hosed down his body and shaved off his hair. They noted his scars and distinguishing marks. They weighed him and measured him under mercury axe. They laid him to rest on a bed of white tiles. His life story entered in the mortuary files. They tagged his belongings, his clothes and a ring, a pipe, some tobacco, and a small piece of string. A pension book bearing the name Thomas Black. An old-fashioned timepiece inscribed on the back. For 50 years service, devotion supreme. From grateful employers, this token of esteem. A good quiet worker, not given to strife, who never once questioned the boss in his life. They gave him a watch when they bade him goodbye, so that he could measure his life slipping by. It ticked through the empty days loud in his ears, a bright death watch beetle undermining the years. Then one act of protest, one moment of strife, they called it a crime when he took his own life. Now this lump of gray silence has finished with time. He demanded so little, and that was his crime.
And how much are you demanding for your time, your life, and your spirit? Good question for all of us. What do I got coming up here? Actually, a very good interview coming up right now with David Silva. And then we're going to be talking to Mary, who you've heard before on this station, though only on tape. She's a person who's sought to get assistance with her housing. She's over 70 years old. She's a woman who's seems to be all there, seems to be clear in her mind, and she's really in the middle of a crisis, and I think her crisis is not unique at all, and it's one that a lot of people face, and I'm going to be hoping we can get some input from you out there in the audience. We don't have a studio audience. We have, of course, the radio audience out there. Evictions are really the dirty underside of homelessness, or the sort of, maybe it's the clean underside of homelessness, because you never know it's going to hit you until it hits you, as it's going to hit Mary. Let me ask her, Mary, I'm going to give you a mic here. You pull up your chair to the mic. And we're going to actually, we'll begin talking to you. I'm not sure, you might want a little more time to prepare. We kind of got here late, this being a rainy Sunday and all. And actually, it's a fifth day of pretty much straight rain. City Council, take note, lots of homeless people out there with the shelter full, the Winter Armory shelter full for the last week, and the City Council full of it for the last year, at least, unfortunately. So, Mary, let's see how your mic goes. Why don't you got to talk real close to the mic, so almost like you're kissing that mic. Say something.
Hi.
Hi, Mary. Do you want to give your full name, or do you want to just say Mary, or how do you want to deal with this?
Well, just my first name.
Okay, Mary. Now, how long have you lived in Santa Cruz?
20 years.
And have you had pretty much been in housing all that time?
No. I was homeless for about five years when I first came to Santa Cruz.
And how did you fare then?
Well, it wasn't easy. Different people put me up occasionally, and then I was on the street, and that was scary. And I even tried to sleep outside, but I couldn't, you know. I stayed awake most of the time.
Why was that? Because you were anxious? Because it was cold? Because what were the reasons?
That I couldn't sleep?
Uh-huh.
Well, cold and I was scared.
This was when the early 80s or mid 80s?
Early 80s. I came to Santa Cruz 1980.
Uh-huh. And did you ever get any tickets for sleeping outside?
Not that I remember.
How many nights did you end up sleeping outside?
Oof. One,
More or less.
A week.
About a week. So when you say you've been homeless, it means you've been kind of without your own place, kind of moving from couch to couch in that early period.
Right.
And then you got into the into a place. How many places have you been in since you've been in Santa Cruz, if you were to kind of estimate?
You mean rented?
Rented, yeah.
I rented, this is the second one living in.
So you were actually in one for a long period of time, and then in this most recent one, how long have you been in your current abode?
About a year and a half.
And now you face eviction.
Right.
You want to tell us a bit about that?
Well, the landlord wants me out because he wants to rent to two people in there so he can get more money, he said.
What is he charging you now?
Do I have to say?
No, of course you don't.
Well, I'd rather not say because I'm on housing. They might not like it.
I see. You know, your situation is far from unique. I myself was homeless for a month this summer, even though I had the money to buy to pay for rent. Just looking and looking for a room. Maybe it's not my reputation preceded me, and no one wanted me in their housing. It's possible, but actually, I think it was more that there's just a huge number of people seeking housing compared to the housing available. Have you been looking for housing?
I've been looking every chance I got, you know, and then I wasn't feeling too good when winter started. I had a lot of health problems.
Uh-huh. You want to talk about those? You can say no.
For one, I have rheumatoid arthritis, mm-hmm. and that acts up when it gets damp, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know I couldn't sleep outside anymore because I tried it.
Well, maybe they could find you a nice, comfortable mat on the armory floor. What do you think?
You mean...
Just kidding, folks. In fact, that's all full. Winter armory shelter is now full. So it's possible they might get you a mat on the floor, but they would have to kick out somebody else. You'd have to line up for an hour at 4 p.m., and then you'd have to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and shake a leg and get out of there and start moving. What do you think of that, Mary?
Oh, I already tried that. I slept in different places, you know. Mattress on the floor a bit. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep.
Right. Well, now you have to be honest. Now they don't have a mattress up at the armory. They have a little mat. So you might find this, shall we say, even less appetizing. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to scare the audience out there. Scare all you folks into giving a call to City Council at 420-5020, and tell them it's time to take some action in terms of opening up significant shelter for people. Dealing with something like rent control for affordable housing. I guess you yourself did go to City Council, or you called Mayor Sugar. You mentioned, I guess, in a past interview, Mary.
Yeah, I talked to Mayor Sugar, and he sent me over to, what was that place? Planning Department. City Planning.
Oh, they would work out a plan for you, eh?
Yeah.
The city planning, a strange place to send you. What did they tell you at city planning?
Well, he offered me two places to go check out. Mm-hmm. One was a studio. I had told him I wanted one bedroom. And the other one was brand new with two little bedrooms. I says, well, I'm interested, but so are some other people, but I can't pay $25 deposit for what do you call it?
Oh, to make an application? $25
credit check.
$25
and not get the place. I didn't think it was. I was that desperate at the time.
You know, I'm gonna try to. If my producer is listening to the show, I want to ask her to try to get a hold of Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz worker Donna Dice, and possibly also Housing Now in Santa Cruz. Maybe they can listen to the show and call in and give their thoughts on what Mary or anyone in her situation can do and what their prospects are. I'm hoping that at least we have one other person listening to the show. So you were given two prospects that didn't seem to work out. The studio is not... Well, you could live in the studio, couldn't you, until you could find a better place?
Yeah, but they're asking... a lot of money for it. You know, he didn't mention that part.
How much money are they asking for the studio?
Well, I saw it advertised in the paper. Mm-hmm. 1,000-something.
Wow. And how much is the 2-bedroom?
I'm not sure. But anyway, it's rented.
It's rented. So you have 10 days. Actually, it's the 23rd. You have a week until January 30th. I guess 31st is when your rent is due, or when they're telling you they won't take your rent, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And I know that this, you haven't just sort of suddenly shown up here on the doorstep of Free Radio Santa Cruz today saying, oh, woe is me. We spoke about this a month and a half, 2 months ago. You've been doing some serious looking, right?
Right, right.
What have you found as you've begun looking? I mean,
I went. Most of them had about, when I went to check the apartment, there was about 10 people there, and the guy, the person's stuff was still in there, and they didn't even have a bathtub, which I require.
Do you have? Do you know any other folks who are friends of yours who've also been looking for housing and are in a similar situation with you? Are you?
No, I don't.
I mean, are you a unique exception? Are most folks who are over 70 in Santa Cruz in good shape, well taken care of, or?
Well, the owner doesn't like me because I complain about things. He likes the guy next door.
This is the owner of your current.
Yeah, he doesn't mind to complain. You can do anything you want, but don't complain.
So, now what kind of complaints you're suggesting? Maybe he's evicting you because you've complained a bit much? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Or he thinks you've complained a bit much?
Yeah.
What kind of complaints have you made that...
Well, I told him I hear this noise at night, you know, and
what noise?
I can't sleep. It has to do with the plumbing, I think. Mm-hmm. And they have some kind of... generator, some under the house, see? Mm-hmm. And the guy next door has the same problem. He complained, and just recently, and the guy that used to be the maintenance man went down to check it. After 5 years, the guy
finally found his way down to the basement.
Yeah. But he told the guy next door to move too, because. And
two complainers
and
in one
still,
building, man.
He's still there.
Now, should we ask you about the reason? Didn't he have some other reason he wanted you to move that had to do with his own plans to escalate the rent and, you know, split the space in half and make even more for himself in this situation? Didn't you mention that? Or should I be talking about that? Or?
I had told him I don't want to renew my contract last winter, you know. Mm-hmm. And, he remembered that, but other things he doesn't remember, you know? When I tell him I don't feel good, he don't believe me.
But what I'm saying is that I mean, isn't the reason you're being evicted because he wants to split the apartment in half and charge, or put two people in where there's one now where you are, and charge twice as much? Isn't that what you were telling
me?
Yeah.
So
it's essentially not because you're a difficult tenant, although you have requested... I guess the thing in the basement, and I guess also requested by the other tenant who had trouble sleeping. But he also wants to make some money off of you. But, you know, there's a thing called retaliatory eviction. If you're being evicted because you're making legitimate complaints, you can sue in court, theoretically, and in some cases, in fact, it has happened, and force the landlord to take your rent and give you, housing at least. I think it's for 6 months or something. Have you investigated this alternative? Or?
Not yet. No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I understand that is a prospect. And I'm hoping we can get some more people involved in this rental discussion, though I got to say we're picking it up kind of at the last minute, as usual. This really kind of has an interesting connection to the next topic I'm going to be talking about, which is the sleeping ban. And for those of you who've been listening for years and years or just living in Santa Cruz, actually more and more people know about it. I'm impressed that it's not as foreign a subject. Sleeping ban? What's that, some sort of a rock group? No, it's not a rock group. It's a law that makes it illegal to sleep outside in Santa Cruz or in a vehicle after 11 o'clock at night until 8:30 in the morning, and you get a $54 ticket if the police choose to give you one, though they will proudly tell you, under pressure from the city council and mostly from the community, they have decided they have been giving out less tickets. Parks and Rec, actually, they claimed, I think, they'd given out no tickets. Was it in November, or maybe it was in December, and Parks and Rec gave out two and a bunch of warnings. I believe by the stats, you might say, well, that's a big improvement. And it is a significant improvement from a year ago, but people continue to report harassment without tickets. People are being moved around, sent away, threatened. And the problem has to do with the fact that there was a really big expose in the Sentinel, not really due to great footwork by Daryl Cole, but at least he was able to place a story. Daryl Cole is the writer in the Sentinel, got this story on the front page about the beatings of homeless people. That was because Chief Belcher of our police department, under merciless pressure from the Homeless Issues Task Force, Lucy Kinmitzer, Huff, Homeless United from Friendship and Freedom, and others, published a story called Mean Streets in the January 13th Sentinel, reporting a grim attack of attacks on homeless people at 4 to 10 times the number of attacks on the population. That's another one of the things that Mary here is going to be facing once she if she hits the streets, is, you know, assuming the cold weather and, you know, illness don't get her first.